anglers. Welcome to Hooked on Fly Fishing. I'm Colin Shepherd, and it's Friday, the 23rd of February. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Tackle Newmarket. They have the biggest range of fly fishing and fly tying gear in New Zealand. Don't you worry about that. Now, the staff at Rod and Reel will help you choose that gear, and more importantly, they will show you how to use it. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Now on tonight's show, we have some fly fishing news. Met Service has provided us with accurate weather forecasts. We check out some river flows and levels with Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy. We talk to Wendy Caudill about casting for recovery program. Some freshwater reporters check in, and as always, we'll finish with the fly fishing tip of the week. Let's look at some fly fishing news. The threat of Didymo is still present. It doesn't go away, ladies and gentlemen. Now, summer anglers tend to move around a lot more, and they are reminded of the need to check, clean and dry all your equipment before you move between rivers. Now, that includes wading boots, it includes your rods, your reels, your fly lines, your boat trailers. They can hold water and move them between lakes. Remember, Didymo is always around. Be careful. Check, clean and dry. The moon phases. The next full moon is on the 2nd of March. Remember that a full moon occurs when the apparent longitudes of the moon and sun differ by 180 degrees. At this time, 100% of the moon's visible surface is illuminated. How does it affect the fishing? Well, around the time of the full moon, fish are sluggish and less likely to strike at your choice of fly. You still go fishing, of course you do. You just have to put in more time and effort. Remember the saying, new moon, fisherman's favourite, full moon, fisherman's folly. Now, if you have any news about upcoming fly fishing events, fishing reports, or any comment about fly fishing in general, you can contact Hooked on Fly Fishing by emailing me, Colin, on col.pam@xtra.co.nz. That is col.pam@xtra.co.nz. Okay, let's look at some weather with Met Service. If you're going saltwater fly fishing in the Auckland region, the Auckland Marine Forecast. The situation. A southwest flow covers the country today. The flow turns northwest over the area on Monday as a front approaches, followed by southerlies and a ridge of high pressure. The forecast for Manukau and Waitemata Harbour, Saturday. Southwest 10 knots, easing to variable 5 knots for a time in the morning and again in the afternoon. Sea slight, fine weather. Manukau, Waitemata on Sunday, variable 5 knots, but 10 knots afternoon sea breezes, long fine breaks. If you're going fishing tomorrow, get out there on Sunday, go and enjoy. Met Service Waikato, Saturday. Mainly fine, but isolated showers developing from late morning in the west, light winds. Sunday in the Waikato region, areas of morning cloud, then long, fine spells, light winds. Rotorua anglers, forecast for Saturday, cloudy periods with isolated showers, light winds. And Rotorua on Sunday, partly cloudy, isolated showers, light winds. If you're fishing in the Taupo region, Saturday forecast, fine apart from areas of morning cloud, light winds. And Sunday in the Taupo region, morning cloud, then long, fine spells, light winds. If you're up and over the hill into Taumarunui region, Saturday's forecast, fine apart from areas of morning cloud, light winds. Taumarunui on Sunday, morning cloud, then long, fine spells, light winds. Upper North Island looks very good. Get out there, get amongst them. Now for our South Island anglers fishing the Canterbury Plains region, forecast for Saturday, fine, light winds, northeasterlies developing from afternoon. Sunday on the Canterbury Plains, fine with increasing high cloud, rain spreading north late evening. Northerlies gradually strengthening. Not a bad forecast either. Thanks to Met Service for those reports. We do appreciate that. Let's look at some river levels. The Puniu River is 23 kilometres south of Tawamoto and it's currently at 8.7 metres. It's flowing at 11 cubic metres per second. That's well down on last week. The next one over, the Mangatutu, is at 1.3 metres, holding. It's flowing at 3.6 cubic metres per second. That's also well down on last week. The Ohinemuri River, measured at Karangahaki between Pairoa and Waihi, is currently at 12 metres and falling. It's flowing at 7.8 cubic metres per second. That's down from a high of 36 last week. It's in good nick. Tauranga Taupo River, the southern end of Lake Taupo, is at 0.5 of a metre. That's also down on last week's flow. The Waipa River, measured at Otiwa, between Otrahonga and Toa Bridge, is at 75.82 metres and falling, and it's flowing at 11 cubic metres per second. That's down on last week, still a bit quick to fish. The Whakapapa River is at 3.2 cubic metres per second, same as last week, and the Whanganui River, measured at Puriaka, is at 22.6 cubic metres per second. That is also down on last week. The Tongariro River, measured at Tūrangi, is at 36 cubics, down from 38 last week. Now, as we've heard from the forecast, all these rivers will drop and clear overnight. Enjoy the fishing. Get out there and get amongst them. Be careful when wading. Now, thanks to Waikato Regional Council and Genesis Energy for that information. Excellent websites, real-time monitoring. Thank you. Okay, what we're going to do now is have a very quick break and then we'll get hold of Wendy Caudill and talk about casting for recovery.
Hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. A little light shining through the window, let me know everything is alright. Sing the song. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine. Makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. See the paper lying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walk on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Sang it. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
Al Jarreau and George Benson's Summer Breeze. You're listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Casting for Recovery is a not-for-profit organisation that provides fly fishing retreats for women with cancer. There is no cost to the participants and all fly fishing gear is supplied. That includes waders, boots, vests, rods, reels, fly lines and even flies. Wendy Caudill is the organiser of the North Island branch of Casting for Recovery. Good evening, Wendy.
Good evening, Colin. How are you?
I'm good. You well?
Very well, thank you. It's a beautiful evening down here in the Waikato.
Very good. The retreat was held last weekend. Whereabouts was that held?
We hold the retreat at a place called Castle Rock Lodge, which is set on a working farm. It's set amongst beautiful rocks, and it's actually a very peaceful and tranquil place to have a retreat. We're very lucky.
Okay, is that south of Te Awamutu, is it?
Yes, it's probably 15, 16 minutes just south of Te Awamutu, yes.
Okay, so it's 23 kilometres south of Te Awamutu.
Correct.
Okay. Now, the reason you hold it there, I believe, is that there are some nearby rivers. Is that correct?
Yes, we mainly fish. Well, we've been fortunate enough with the weather, even with this retreat, with having the cyclone, that the Punya, the last minute cleared for us. So we basically fished the Punya, but we did have a couple of people that fished the Mangatutu this time, and actually one of them came out with a very, very nice brown, which they obviously put back after they caught it, but was pretty excited. It was their first ever fish, and it was a lovely fish, but the Punya didn't let us down. It fished very well as well.
Okay, very good. Now, how many women on the retreat, Wendy?
We have 10 ladies that come in from all around the North Island.
Yes.
And we had two that flew up together from Wellington, which was really lovely because they didn't know each other before the retreat and sort of left very good friends. So that in itself was quite fantastic. So you're all around the place.
Okay, and all different ages.
Yes, our youngest probably would have been about 38 on this retreat, and our oldest would have been about 65.
Okay, so that's a big spread, isn't it? That's good, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so
it is. It is. Yeah.
Tell us, what happens at a Casting for Recovery retreat? Because it's more than just the fishing. We'll talk about it at the end. What do they do?
Well, I like women, we talk. But Friday night is, we welcome them. We make sure that we have, a cup of tea, some food and things like that. And we find the ladies just start talking together just quietly. And we have a couple of little ceremonies that we do just to get to know the ladies. And we introduce ourselves, and the ladies can talk about whatever's happened to them in their private life or their medical life, or if they just want to talk about, just being a homemaker, that's fine too. So we all sit around in a circle, very similar to Real Recovery, and we just sit around and we just tell about ourselves, the CFR team. We say a bit about how come we've become involved, and then the ladies will tell us a bit about themselves. So it's a great introduction to get to know the sort of the ladies that you have. And we step off from that. That's Friday night. We have a huge dinner. We have people donating chocolate cakes that are about 50 foot high with pink icing, and and Saturday we have a leisurely breakfast, and then we had Craig Caldwell come in with Garth Plank, and they did putting the rods together with the lines going up, doing some practicing, lots of fun things. We have breaks in between, another big hot lunch that we have where people donate all sorts of things, vegetables, baking. A lady, runs in at morning tea time with two batches of pear muffins that are still steaming hot out of her oven, and think wonderful stuff like that. We have Look Good, Feel Better come in the afternoon and make up all the ladies, and it's just a wonderful experience. Those ladies do such a fabulous job, and our ladies look so beautiful when they're finished. We have quite a bit of downtime in the afternoon for fingernails, toenails, swimming, sparring, or just reading. Maybe sometimes the ladies even want to sleep. All the things that they can't do in their everyday life.
Okay.
Sunday morning's a pretty early start up, and we have breakfast. We have a big cook breakfast. We have our river helpers join us, and that is just incredible too. So we have our 10 river helpers come in. Then we head off to the river. The girls fish till lunch with their river helper. Come back, we have lunch, we have a ceremony just to give out our fishing beads and our certificates and to thank the river helpers and the rest of the team, and we sort of pack up, and that's our retreat for 2018.
Okay, now let's talk about the fishing part of this. This happens Sunday morning, you say, Wendy. Now, these ladies they're not experienced fly fishers. It's first time for most people. So you have a river helper comes in. What is, tell us the job of about a river helper. What does he or she do?
Well, the river helper comes in to be one-on-one with the person that they are allocated to. And we allocate our ladies to the river helpers that we know. Some of our ladies on this retreat were extremely well, and we had a couple that were just not so well. So we just judge, first of all, the river helper that we give them and where we place them on the river. If they're not well, we make sure that they don't have to, you know, clamber too far. We can basically drive them to the river, yeah. And then it's more comfortable for them. The river helpers are spoken to, so they know the etiquette that they have with the ladies. So they always ask, do you mind if I put my hand on your shoulder? You know, depending on which side, they could be sore or whatever. They have a wading belt too that they can hold on to. So if the women do get in the water and do become a little bit tippy, if you want to say that for a word, the river helper's there. And, you know, I've got wonderful pictures of the river helpers just supporting the ladies. And so for a lot of the ladies, it's a first-time experience to actually be in waders, yes. And to be standing in the water, looking at it differently, looking for fish. And most of our ladies caught fish. Good. And one lady caught a rainbow and a brown, first time ever. So we had lots of firsts.
Okay.
So the ladies come back pretty bubbly.
Yeah, I can imagine. Because it is different the first time where you put the waders and boots on and stand in the, and you can feel the river tugging at your legs. It's we take it for granted because we do it so often, but it's the first time. It's quite amazing how some of them feel. That's right.
Well, they'll say, yeah, I got into the river and I could feel it and it was really cool, you know. It was cool. And then we were looking for places where the fish were, you know, and just the 2 hours or the 2.5 hours just disappeared. And wow, I don't know where it went. And it was so relaxing and it was so, so good not to be thinking about my everyday things, just to be in the water. Just to be enjoying it. So,
Very good.
River helpers are fantastic men
and they're all
ladies.
All volunteers, Wendy?
We are all volunteers. Okay. Mind Casting for Recovery, we are all volunteers. Our river helpers are volunteers. And we've just had so many offers for people coming in and just doing the dishes for the day.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
You know, and things like that. Yeah, all volunteers.
Okay, I saw something on Facebook. A certain person was doing wader safety, I believe, and got pushed into the swimming pool or something. Were you involved in that at all, Wendy?
Oh, would I be involved with pushing my husband into a pool while he had his waders on?
Of course you would.
Yes, sir.
I wish I'd been there to see it.
We had a video of last year's, but we did video this year. It's a really important part because the first thing the ladies ask, you know, they get in their waders and their boots and they go, why am I putting a belt on? Mm. You know, why am I putting this belt on? And we say, well, we're going to show you why you're putting this belt on. And then, as I say, I do have the utmost of pleasure of actually pushing Craig into the pool. Yeah. And he can demonstrate why that belt is there to save their lives, you know, so they don't sink.
It's very
a very good part of the program.
It is very important. You're quite right. Safety is important. Now, what about these ladies? Some of them are very sick. Do you have medical people handy or available if something happens? How does all that work? Do you have a nurse?
Well, we have a nurse.
Okay, that's good.
That's there 24/7.
Good. Yeah.
And we have a lady that does massage, and she is there 24/7. They have a room that's set aside and all set up with a massage table and then, like, the nurse's quarters. So we did have an incident where we needed our nurse on this retreat, and it was just all the reasons why we needed to have a trained personnel, you know, there on the spot. And the nurses, she builds up a lot of rapport with the ladies. And we had a cancer nurse with us this year, and she was saying at the end of the retreat to me that she saw a different side of being a cancer nurse on the weekend.
Okay.
Because she saw the ladies in a different environment.
Yes.
And it was very, or could we say, soul-searching or different for her to see the other side. So that was brilliant.
That's good, isn't it? Now,
yeah.
You have these once a year, Wendy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Now, how do you go about fundraising? It must be a difficult job.
Yeah, it is a bit. We've cooked sausages outside Mitre 10 in Te Awamutu. We went into a paddock with a whole lot of guys with guns the other week shooting, and I cooked sausages, and Craig did a few shots with his gun. So we raised funds there, anything and everything we can, and we do apply for funding as well in the local community, and we find there are people that will give us donations, but most of the time it's fairly uphill, but we get there and it's worth it.
Because it's free for participants, isn't it? Everything is provided, food, accommodation, all the fishing gear, everything.
Everything.
Okay.
So their only cost is getting to and from the retreat.
Okay.
Everything is free. And the women just have a ball, really.
Okay. Now, the reason I believe, going way back to the beginning of Casting for Recovery in America, is that the action of casting a fly rod helps with lymphedemas, right? When you get swollen lymph nodes in the arms, part of the cancer treatment. That's why they do the fishing program. It is helpful, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
And apart from that too, Colin, I think for the woman to experience the peace of the river, I think that also is hugely beneficial.
Standing in a river, I remember years ago I had a lady in the river and I said, "Listen to that, Miffy." And she said, "There's nothing to listen." I said, "Listen again, Miffy." And she said, "I can hear the water moving and the odd bird." I said, "That's it. That's all you need. You don't need any more. You don't need cars and sirens." And she said, That's pretty good, isn't it? So you do need to stop and have a listen and have a look around. You're right, Wendy. It is different than a normal day of having cancer treatments and stuff like that. Well done.
Yes.
Now, how do people find you on social media so they can see your photos and Facebook and make donations? How do they get hold of you?
Casting for Recovery in North Island, New Zealand. We have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And I probably put something once a week on there, and especially now that I've got lots of super... I put them on all year, and so my contact details are on that page. They can send me an email, or they can contact me at wendyforrecovery, all one word, .org.nz.
Okay.
So that's or Wendy. wendy.caldwell@extra.co.nz.
All right.
So either way, you will get me.
Okay.
And I'm very happy to, answer any questions if they have any.
Wendy, thank you for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Congratulations on another successful retreat. Onwards and upwards and go again next year.
Thank you, Colin.
Okay. Now,
it's my pleasure to talk to you.
I believe Craig is there as well.
Yes, he's here at the table. He should be in the kitchen cooking my tea. Hold on.
Okay, thanks.
Good evening, Colin. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Craig, you well? You dried out?
Yeah, no, of course we're well down here.
You've dried out?
The sun's shining, that's the start.
No, I'm talking about you. Have you dried out from the way to safety demonstration?
No, it's... It's quite different, We used to do it in neoprene waders, and of course neoprene waders have some buoyancy.
Yes.
But these damn things, as long as you've got your feet up and you have a little bit of trouble keeping your head up out of the water, you've got to work on that. But as soon as you stand upright and they fill up with water, you sink like a rock.
Yes, you've got to be careful. Mm.
Yeah.
Now.
Especially, on those drop-offs on the... on the lakes and things, probably you should be wearing, a self-inflatable life jacket or something.
Well, a lot of people do now. It's
like we wear on the boats, you pull pull a ripcord and they go up.
That's right. Well, a lot of people
Because you fill those waders up and that water gets down around your feet and you've got no buoyancy at all. You're down on the bottom straight away.
Yeah, we do lose...
Vertical.
We do lose the odd angler every year, don't we? That's right. Now,
We do, don't we? And that's... Carry on.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about your local river, the Punu River. You were saying today, I think, or yesterday, there's some projects Project Watershed, is that the one?
I think it is called Watershed. It's a joint venture between Amari Iwi and I'm a bit unsure where from, but and also what the details are. But what they're doing is that they're clearing all the willows, I understand, from our place, but all the way up to Seafund Road, and they're going to fence it off and plant natives and things up the riverbank all the way up.
Yeah.
So they started this week at Butch Gilbert's place. And the two loops that go downstream from the Auckland Freshwater Anglers Club hut, all the willows are gone.
Okay.
And around, there was a beautiful little area, actually, by the... so they have started.
Okay, Craig, can I just stop you? We're having trouble with your phone. Are you moving around or something? What's happening to your phone?
Oh, no, I'm absolutely stuck.
Hello.
Can you?
I can. Yeah, only intermittent. You're cutting in and out, Craig. We're going to have to wrap it up.
It must have brought signal coming in. It just moved a bit closer to our modem.
Okay, can you try that again? No, Craig, I'm going to have to go. We can't have it. I'll try you on another line, maybe next week, and we'll talk about Waikato Regional Council and Project Watershed.
Okay.
Thanks, Craig. Got to go. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's a shame. Project Watershed. We'll look at it in detail next week. It's a collaboration with Waikato Regional Council and a iwi outfit called Punu Care. Now, it's estimated that 8,700 hectares is at risk of erosion and 350 kilometres of stream banks that are in danger as well. So what they're going to do, they're going to fence about 1,000 kilometres. They're going to do planting of natives of 980 kilometres. And all this is part of willow clearance and flood protection. It's going to be a hell of a big job. Is seven streams in the Waikato region have been identified. Okay, it's a shame about Craig's phone there, but we got in Wendy and Casting for Recovery. Well done, Wendy. We'll have a quick break and then more fishing stuff.
You know what makes me smile? It's kicking his groove for miles. It always makes me grin, no matter what mood I'm in. You know what makes me smile? It's kicking his groove for miles. It always makes me grin, no matter what mood I'm in. A long, long time we've been waiting. A long, long time still awaiting. Before the light
listening to Hooked on Fly Fishing on Planet FM 104.6. Bert Robinson is a long-time Rotorua resident and an even longer-time Rotorua angler. And that's exactly why we talk to him on a regular basis. Bert is live on here with us now. Good evening, Bert.
Hey, Carl.
How you all?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad.
Very good. Now, a friend of mine, Neil Herzl, said he rang you a couple of days ago. Mm-hmm. And he asked about, where do I go fishing? What am I going? What's where's the wind going? All that sort of stuff. And I have to report that he had a couple of very good days down there. And
Brilliant. Lots
of fish. And thank you for passing that information on, Bert. Now, last week you were going out fishing. Tell us, how did you go? What's happening in Neil region?
Yeah, I was going out fishing and I got out there and got into a few fish at Humarana, which wasn't too bad, and so I went a bit slack for a while, and so I decided I'd change my fly. So I broke my fly off and went to turn my light on again to be able to retie a fly, and guess what happened? It didn't want to go.
Oh.
So at 10 o'clock at night, I had to bail out of the water because I couldn't see the thread of fly. It was horrible. It was fish everywhere. They weren't biting too well, but earlier in the evening they were pretty good. But one of the things that I'm suggesting to anglers is that they, instead of looking at either nymphs or looking at wet flies, they should look at emergers. Now, emergers are not something we fish a lot in New Zealand, but the English do very, very well on it, and Americans as well in places. And merger is that little aquatic insect that comes up from the bottom and it gets into the surface tension and tries to fight its way through. And, of course, it's prime target for hungry trout. And I'm pretty certain that that is what has been happening a lot down here. You get a lot of fish rising, but you can't really see what they are. But if you have a look at on YouTube or somewhere like that, there's videos on there that show you the different types of rises.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people down here thought that they were smelting, but they're actually not. You need to look at the way a fish rises as to what it's feeding on. It will give you a good indication of what type of fly to use.
Okay. There's the tip angers, and those videos are all available on YouTube, you say?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're a bit shy on knot tying skills, they've got animated knot tying videos and all sorts of things, you know, like if you want to try a uni knot and you've never tied one before and you have trouble with it, it gives you the animated version of tying that particular knot or any knot you really want. Just type in uni knot and it'll come up with an animated instruction video, and it makes life so much easier when you can actually follow it in front of you.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, I've had a look at those knot ones, they're damn good.
Now, yeah, they are, yeah.
The different types of rise, sometimes you get a little hunched back, like a bulge under the water. Sometimes
yep.
they suck from underneath,
yep.
and you get like a little whirlpool type
That's
of
right, and that actually takes quite a bit of skill to be able to spot that too. You don't realise it's happening. The big splashy chasing smelt type things or taking a cicada or something off the surface is usually pretty fast and furious, or even a dragonfly. But there's a lot of very subtle rises that actually require you to train your eye to be able to spot,
yeah.
Particularly if there's a ripple on the water, and that seemed to be when it was best, was the ripple on the water. Now, a lot of places, including Rotorua, have had a real big cricket hatch, and there's millions and millions of babies out there, and I've seen a lot of them on the water too. So okay. your little black unweighted nymphs are always worth having a go at with... with these fish doing that sort of thing. And just look carefully at what's floating past you. I'll give you some indication of what is available, what's on the surface, and what they're likely to be taking. If there's nothing on the surface, then they must be taking something that's coming up from the bottom and getting stuck in that surface tension. They have to fight quite hard to get through it, but once they're through it, they take off pretty quick.
Yes.
But some never make it through the surface tension, and that provides really good, easy pickings for trout.
Okay. With this passion of ours as fly fishing, you've got to be observant, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Your peripheral vision, if you can train that to pick up movement out of the corner of your eye, and mothers are usually pretty good at that. they spot the kids doing something wrong. They're not directly looking at them, but they it seems to be a natural thing for them. Us guys have to work a little bit harder at it, I think.
Yeah, good point. Now, this friend of mine, Neil, went up to Upper Ngongataha, and he said, by gosh, it's changed a lot up there since last year.
Yeah, oh, we had horrendous floods down there. I mean, the Western Road that runs parallel from the Ngongataha village right up to State Highway 5 was flooded on several occasions up there. It came back up the stormwater drains. That's how full the river was. So there will have been some very big changes up there. And that last reserve... it starts just before an A-framed house on the right-hand side there. It's got quite a number of fish holding in there, but if you can get permission to go on further up, you can get into a lot of good fish because they seem to be persecuted to the point of moving out of town, so to speak, and moved right into the areas where it's quieter.
Okay.
Because we've just had so many anglers down here since December 1.
Yeah, yeah. He said it's quite remarkable the pools have changed. Some of the trees that he used to use as markers, they've completely gone.
The banks absolutely have changed. It's certainly happened over the winter.
Yeah, hell, a lot of water gone through. Now, let's talk about the lakes in your region. What have you heard about them?
Well, even though we got the side swipe from that cyclone Gita came down, and we had quite a bit of wind and we had a fair bit of rain, but the rivers have recovered remarkably quickly. Waitati never really suffered at all. Utahina did. Ngongataha was probably the middle of the two. It got hammered a bit, but it did recover relatively quickly, so the anglers were still able to get out. It did bring some fresh fish in. There's always fish spawning up those streams. But the easiest access points are the ones that you'll find less fish in because so many people are going there. The mouths have been quite good, and I would say from now on I'll be looking more at the stream mouths catching fresh run rainbows coming in because, as we're coming up to March shortly, and that's when you'll start to get the first strong runs of rainbows. April, May, June, July is when your browns start again. So you'll start getting browns coming down the river. They move in and out all the time, but you'll get ones that are spent coming down. So you know, although it might be a monster fish in length, it won't be a monster fish in weight.
Yes, pretty poor condition there.
Yeah. They do spend a lot of time up there. Some spend over 6 months up there for some unknown reason, and they come out looking pretty horrible, really.
Yes, they get knocked around. Now,
they sure do.
Neil also fished the Awa House stream mouth, and he said he waded across there and went to the left as you look at the lake.
Yep.
And very good fish in there. They've got some nice fish.
Yeah, there's been some really good fish there, and that to the left around the corner a bit is a great place for stalking browns in knee-deep water or a little bit over knee-deep perhaps. You've got to move very, very slowly in there because you'll find that they are quite aware of their surroundings, and I think I mentioned before in this program that when you're walking, try to do it so that you reduce the bow wave going in front of you. Not so bad when there's a good ripple on it because it gets dissipated pretty quickly, but if you're walking on a flat, calm surface of the lake, you're walking through that, you'll see a bow wave go ahead of you, and they pick up on that. That's a change in water pressure.
Yes.
And they have learnt to equate that to danger, and they will just move quietly out of the way. Rainbows tend to bolt, but the browns just move away, and even though you cast at them, the chances of getting them is pretty remote. But you do occasionally they'll snap at something, but usually they're gone.
Okay.
The good thing about that is that they will come around. They'll go out, they'll do a big circle and come back to almost exactly where they were.
Okay,
and that's one of the things about the browns. When at any of the stream mouths, you'll find that they have a preferred spot to sit, and they'll move away from it, but they will come out behind you and go back to the same spot again. So you can move away from where you spotted them, Wait for 10, 15 minutes and cast, and you've got a good chance of them being caught on the end of your line.
Yeah, I've seen a classic example of that on Lake Annie Fenn or Burt between Graham Ryder's old place. You go along the wall, turn left towards the poplars and the bank that runs way along there. You'll see a brown come past, and you come and you wait a while, and you can see him coming, and you plonk your little fly in, just leave it on the bottom and give it a little chomp, got it.
Yep.
But you've just got to wait. You've got to be patient.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the thing too is that browns do tend to have an area that they patrol.
Yes.
And they'll do a circuit around that. And it won't be the exact same line that they take every time, but they will do that circuit, drive out other smaller fish or eat them if it's possible. So, you know, you watch them do the circuit three or four times and time it.
Yes.
And you can say, righto, it takes approximately 12 minutes for it to go around. And I can tell you, it's hell sitting there timing them because you know they're coming. And you want to get that line of water. But you try and work out that, okay, the circuit takes 12 minutes to get around. It'll be 6 minutes before it gets back right in front of me. So if I drop my line in there 4 minutes earlier than that, and just let it sit there and wait. I'm not disturbing the water where the fish is. I've disturbed it where the fish isn't, and you're waiting for that fish to come to that point.
And
it's a great one, especially if you've got a spotter with you on a hillside. And McLaren's Falls Lake's a great one for that because in a lot of places you can get up quite high, look down in the water, and guide your fishing buddy to that particular point. Nongataha Stream's another really good one.
Yes.
You know, just using the terrain around you to pick up on fish.
Yeah, I like fishing with a mate like that, a spotter. You don't both have to fish all the time. You can help each other out. It's great fun.
Oh, absolutely, and it makes a better day for both things too. Yeah,
that's right. Excellent work. Thank you, Bert. Now, your contact details, please.
Yeah, I'm 0027 289 6079. Just flick us a text or give us a call, and I'll help out where I can.
All right, we do appreciate it. We know that's what the offer is there, anglers. Bert Robinson, Rotorua, 0027 289 6079. Thanks for talking to Hooked on Fly Fishing. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks, Bert.
I'll do that. I'm hoping to get some fishing in.
Good stuff. We'll hear about it next week.
Okay, we'll catch you later.
Thank you, Bert. See
you. Yeah, bye.
Mr. Bert Robinson, there you go. He means it. Give him a ring, 0272896079. How good's that? Okay. Now, let's have a look. We're just coming up towards the end of the show. Yes, we are. The fly fishing tip of the week. One of the best pieces of fishing advice is to continuously change your location, your presentation, depth, etc., until you begin catching fish. In other words, mix it up until it works. How good's that? Okay. Hooked on Fly Fishing is proudly supported by Rod and Reel Newmarket. Have a look at their website, rodandreel.co.nz. Hooked on Fly Fishing will be back on air next Friday at 6 p.m. Until then, good fishing and tight lines.